This is episode number 117 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded on October 15th, 2012, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, only one of them. What's your name again, sir?
Bob. I'm Bob.
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 Definitely. What happened Bob. to that other guy, Door and Knucklehead and Clark Kent and all those other people?
Well, I guess you can only combine podcast for so long.
Yeah, apparently they left and I'm stuck with Bob.
Yep. Hi, so Bob. Episode 117, huh?
Yeah.
Is this the Redwood episode?
I don't know, is it?
Well, apparently, the tallest tree ever recorded in history is a Redwood tree, and it stands 117 meters tall.
Oh, I thought that it was just on Route 117.
I don't know.
I don't know. What route do you
take? It's in Humboldt Redwood State Park.
Yeah, well, what route do you take to get to Humboldt Redwood State Park?
I do not know.
Maybe it's Route 117.
Maybe.
It could be anything.
Did you know that if you're in Italy, 17 is considered an unlucky number, so it is common to replace any instance of 17 with 117?
Does that mean they have 13 floors in their buildings?
Maybe.
So how was your week, Bob?
Busy, busy, busy.
Okay. Is that good or bad?
I was checking my voicemail just a few minutes ago. And realized and found a voicemail from Best Buy saying that they had my phone. And that they've had my phone all friggin' day.
Did you go and get it?
No. I was just listening to it. I just learned.
Oh, maybe tomorrow.
Maybe. Try certainly.
I don't know what your schedule is for tomorrow.
I'll make it happen.
You could have something important going on. I know that, you know, sometimes on Tuesdays I have important things going on.
Have I ever told you the motivational story of filling the jar?
I don't recall, but you can try.
Okay, so it's this motivational speaker, right? You know, Tony Robbins or whoever. And so he's got this jar.
Okay.
And he's doing a big jar. And he's doing this little demo. And he fills the jar up with a bunch of big old rocks. And he asks the audience, and, you know, it looks pretty full. He asks the audience, is the jar full? And the audience says, yes. So he picks up a bucket of little bitty rocks. And he pours the little bitty rocks into the jar. And they fill in all the little spaces around the big old rocks. And he looks at them again and says, now is the jar full? And the audience, once again, says, yes, the jar is full. We can't fit any more rocks in it. So he then picks up a bucket of sand that he's got hidden behind his little platform. And pour sand in it until it's topped off and full and all the space in between the big rocks and the small rocks is filled up with sand. And he asks the audience again, I ask you again, is the jar full? And the audience by now is catching on and says, no! So he picks up a pitcher of water and he pours the water in the jar until the jar is full. And he asks the audience, and what can we learn from this exercise? And somebody in the audience screams out, there's always room for more. And the guy says, no. The lesson you should take from this exercise is to put the big rocks in first. So as you go through your life and your life is busy, the things that are important, those are the things that you do first to ensure that there is room for them. Put the important items in your life first. Put the big rocks in first. So with that little bit of philosophy, yeah, I'm going to get my phone tomorrow.
Okay, so it's a big rock.
It's a big rock.
Okay, I don't know where the rock falls on your rock list. For all I know, there could be a boulder sitting outside your house that needs to be addressed immediately.
And then it would crush my jar. My jar would shatter.
Yeah, I hate glass shards myself. But, you know, I've been busy. I decided.
What have you been doing?
I decided to give up on my pie case. Somebody's asking, has the show started? They can't hear anything. I guess I better check the stream. It says it's running. Can you hear me? You know, the depressing thing is I continue to not bother to have the stream set up so that I can easily check it if there's an audio problem. Because I'm usually sitting here at my desk. Barry, do you have the stream within range?
I can certainly grab the stream and see if it's streaming.
Okay. You do that while I talk.
Okay.
Because the stream is definitely on. I just don't know if anybody can hear anything, if there's a technical problem we're unaware of. While we do that, thank you, chat room person, for asking whether or not the stream is on. I'm going to be rebuilding the streamer next week.
I'm going to say no, the stream is not streaming.
Why?
Because it's not doing nothing.
Are you using that new link, or are you using the direct link?
I'm going to the live site, and I push the play button.
Okay, can you try going directly to putting it into an external program? I haven't had a chance to test that thing. The button.
I don't have anything that can play a PLS.
That's interesting. I can go check if you want. I have a device in the other room that can check it. How about this, Jerry? You entertain the people and I'll go check.
Okay. Well, I already told my Big Rock story. What do you want me to do?
Well, if you had been telling the Big Rock story while I was...
Okay, I found something to play the PLS. Oh, yeah, we're certainly streaming.
Yeah, I better fix that live thing. It wasn't on when I installed the link, so I guess I better figure out why it isn't working. Anyway, on that note, we appear to be streaming.
Yes, we are streaming.
But I was going to tell a story. So I was going to tell my story. I have been waiting to put together a new dedicated streamer for the podcast. So I bought myself a Pi. And I ordered a case for my Pi because I don't like, you know, my Pi to not have a case. So the Pi came a month ago. And the case came on Friday. So I've been waiting for the case for my pie.
Why don't you just eat it? Well, that's what you do with pie.
No, P-I, not P-I-E. So in the meantime, I had given up that the case would ever show up and ordered another case. So now I have two cases but only one pie. So there's only one solution in the circumstance. I'm going to have to get another pie.
A Raspberry Pi?
Yeah.
Why do you have to get another pie?
Because I have a case for it.
You get a case?
I have two cases, but only one pie.
Okay, dude. Whatever works for you works for me.
Besides,
if you're happy, I'm happy.
One of them is going to be the dedicated hardware streamer for the board system here. It can support the dark ice gas streamer and a little USB audio thing. So I'm going to run this entire studio off of Pi.
Great.
Why great?
Whatever works.
I think it sounds fun.
Okay. If that's your Big Rock, then you knock it out.
Anyway, we have somebody in the chat who wants to know, do you need special software to listen live? Not necessarily. Just go to your browser on your device, or usually your Android device, and you can put in live.androidbuffet.com, and it should pop up the stream. And if you have a device installed that understands how to read that stream, it'll stream. Otherwise, if you're
on... You never know, dude. He could be on Windows.
If he's on Windows, he can go and get VLC Player, or he can get... any of the other things that do streams. Winamp, for example. That's the one with the llama, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Winamp has a llama. Okay. I don't know what it is with llamas. Anyway, so I've completed my Pi story. I also played with NFC tags. I've been meaning to do that for a while. I created my first NFC tag.
Yeah? What does it do?
Well, it's on the back of a... the only existing Android Buffet keychain. So if you hold it up to your Android device enabled with NFC, it'll add a contact to your phone all about Android Buffet.
Ooh.
Yes. And I don't know what a Windows 7 phone has for streaming. I'm sure it has something. Right? We have a user in the chat who is using a Windows 7 phone.
Windows 7 or Windows 7 operating system?
Well, he says, Win 7, I'm using phone to talk, PC didn't work. So I assume it's Windows Phone 7, not Windows 7 on the computer.
I think he's talking about Windows.
This is riveting radio, isn't it? Isn't the suspense killing you, those of you who are listening to this recorded? I do know for a fact, though, that I want to welcome Andro User 2 to the chat room. From what I can see, Andro User 2 is a Comcast user. Nice to know somebody's joining Comcast. I know Jerry is a Comcast user as well.
Oh, yeah. I just got a letter from Comcast today saying they're changing my service.
For the better or for the worse?
The better. They're changing my 22 megabit down, my 22 down, 5 up to 27 down, 7 up.
Oh. I got a letter from Time Warner recently. They said that effective on October 15th, which is today, they're going to start charging me $3.95 a month for the modem.
Yay.
Well, I could go and order one. It would only be $130.
Yeah, but,
You pay a modem rental fee with Comcast, don't you? Isn't it $7 a month?
I think mine's probably $10. I have a commercial gateway.
Okay. But they just imposed the charge that they had previously not imposed. Except if you have phone service with them. Because you couldn't possibly go out and rent a modem with a phone gateway in it because they don't have any approved modems with phone gateways in it. So there are no devices you can buy, so they can't charge you to rent one because they won't offer you an alternative. Yet they can charge you $14 a month to rent a cable box, and you can't go out and buy one of those.
You can from Comcast. Comcast, you can.
You can buy a cable box from Comcast?
It's a TV, dude. Digital tuning.
I have a digital tuner, but what about cable cards?
Didn't
you hear about...
There are TVs that take cable cards. There are tuners that take cable cards. TiVos that take cable cards.
But didn't you hear about... I don't want a TiVo. But didn't you hear about the ruling the FCC made? They're now going to be allowed to encrypt the basic service tier.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, I wrote about it all over on gadgetwisdom.com. I know you read it religiously.
Or not.
I'd like to find one person I talk to regularly who actually reads my writing. Well, you read the show notes, I suppose. Never mind. Don't answer that. I'm not sure how I'd feel about the answer. Anyway, let's see. But basically, the FCC will allow encrypting of the basic tier, and that will make life better for us, apparently. By saving us money, because we won't have to sit around waiting for truck rolls, because they'll be able to activate everything remotely. I think somebody at the FCC has been smoking something. Anyway, let's talk a little Android and some related news. As we were talking about before the show, Japanese carrier SoftBank is said to be purchasing a 70% stake in Sprint. Jerry?
Yep. Yay! And why do I say yay? Because part of what they were... It's a $20 billion deal, but $8 billion of that is going to be a cash influx into Sprint that they can use for expanding their network or paying down debt, blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's the question I have to ask you then. Is there a downside?
Not that I'm aware of. Mr. Sun, the guy that the CEO, owner of SoftBank, has a pretty long history with Dan Hess, so I don't think Dan Hess is going to be kicked out. Vodafone, the company that SoftBank owns and runs over in Japan, currently maintains unlimited data with no data caps. I think it's going to be great. The guy, you know, he's coming from the outside. He wants to shake things up. I expect it'll be a great thing for Sprint. I'm excited.
Elevator has commented, a live player on the site. What is this craziness?
I know, it doesn't work for me, but
I'll fix it.
Chrome.
I'm sorry, I turned it on when the stream wasn't on, and I forgot to come in here and turn the stream on so I could test it. So sorry, I've added a live player to the site. It is not currently working. Also on my list of things is to have episodes streaming when we're not actually on the air. So you could listen to the episode over and over again.
If you're masochistic.
Well, Jerry, if you want to put on some sort of other, you know, auto message, I've been meaning to upload something to the auto DJ, so it could just
put
be us.
Elevator music on. No, even better yet, say, put on that recording that says, your call is important to us. Please wait on the line, and we will be with you as soon as possible. We have placed your call in our highest priority queue.
Well, Elevator has an interesting idea. We could play every single episode. We have 118 of them. How many hours are there in a week, Jerry?
168.
So how long before we would actually be able to replay the entire Android Buffet Archive?
Probably take about a week.
Yeah, so every week we could replay the entirety of Android Buffet. That would be amazing.
Yeah, because why not?
Well, you could tune in any time and hear, you know, past episodes. You are listening to an endless run of Guru and Jerry. Guru and Jerry, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All Guru, all Jerry, sometimes Bob.
So, bottom line is, I'm excited about SoftBank buying a large portion of Sprint. Okay. They get, part of the deal is that there's going to be a 10-member board, and SoftBank gets 7 of those 10 members. So, there's your 70% control.
Well, it should be interesting.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I watch Sprint. I am not somebody who hates Sprint. I may make fun of it, but I don't hate them. I'd like to see them get better.
I think then I wouldn't make fun of Sprint, it's really, are you in a well-covered area or not? And if you are, Sprint is, in my personal opinion, without a doubt, the best carrier available. If you're not, which tends to be the majority of the United States, apparently, doesn't matter how good the carrier is if the phone never works.
Isn't that a reflection on how good the carrier is? If it doesn't work, if it doesn't have good coverage, isn't that a reflection on the carrier?
Well,
admittedly, if you never leave your town,
the carrier is kind of a universal value, you know, from 1 to 10. Whereas the coverage that you get depends on your exact location at that exact moment. So I would say that how good a carrier is a stable value, whereas coverage at a given point is a variable value.
Okay. Moving along, Reuters is reporting that the FCC might be launching an antitrust lawsuit against Google.
Because they've got their fingers into every pie on the planet.
The FTC or the FCC? This is the FTC.
Yeah, the Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see how that works out. Elsewhere, I want to know, Jerry, if you suffer from nomophobia. We mention this every so often. How obsessed are you with your phone, other than the fact that had you not a podcast this evening, you would be camping out and closing down a local Best Buy trying to get your phone back?
Oh, dude, yeah, I would have been so upset. Okay.
Just remember, Jerry?
No, I really couldn't care. My daughter, however, when we were buying her phone, we were porting her number from MetroPCS to Sprint, and she was at work, so her phone stopped working. And she was freaking out until
and what,
her boyfriend brought it to her at her work.
And what sort of phone is that again?
She and my wife got iPhone 5s.
That is cherry.jones@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can also send your letters to podcast@androidbuffet.com. And, of course, your comments on this to 201-2-WENICA if you wish to leave a voicemail. You can also send us an audio file. We'll play it. Jerry will hear it. He'll comment. He'll react. Just remember that people's choice of phones for their family members is not a reason to throw rotten eggs or any other negative things. It is a lifestyle choice that we must respect.
Listen, my wife is not a technophile. She had an Android phone before that, a Samsung, whatever.
I know you hate those.
And it was a pain in the butt for her. So, and she takes a lot of pictures, and she wants an iPad. So I'm thinking iPhone for my wife is the best option. And my daughter, well, she's very much about what's in fashion, and I don't try and control her taste.
Okay, I'm accepting that. Let's move along. Mobile data usage in the U.S.
It is the first Apple device I've ever bought in my entire life. Okay, carrying on, sorry.
Mobile data usage in the United States has more than doubled in the last year. U.S. carriers handled 1.16 trillion megabytes of data between July 2011 and June 2012, up 104% from the 568 billion megabytes used between July 2010 and July 2011. Sound good?
Anybody surprised?
No.
I mean, really?
You don't surprise me, Jerry. I'm surprised
it only went up that much. I mean, still, it's a massive amount of data, but...
You know what surprised me, Jerry?
What?
Well, I went out and ordered a Freedom Pop. Did you hear about this?
No.
Okay, a Freedom Pop, they have this program where it's 500... You buy this WiMAX device. Feel free to laugh about that. And you get 500 megabytes a month free on WiMAX until somebody shuts WiMAX down.
We have WiMAX in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but Sprint is moving over to LTE, so WiMAX won't be much longer for this world. So I said fine.
Well, we still got Clearwire.
Yeah, and this is a reseller. Basically, 500 megabytes a month free, and then after that you pay overage charges, or they shut you down. So I said I'd give this a shot, so I ordered a Freedom Pop.
How much was it?
$99. So for $99, I get 500 megabytes a month free. And within the first 12 months, since it's called an equipment deposit, I can get my $99 back. Although there's some sort of provision that if they stop selling the device, you can't get your money back. Please don't ask me to explain that.
What?
There are all
if they stop selling the device,
you can't get your deposit back. You can only get your deposit back within the first 12 months, and if they are still offering the device to customers.
So you can't get this now?
You can get it.
So I'm confused.
Basically, they don't call it a payment for the device. They call it an equipment deposit. So you don't know.
Oh, so it's not mine.
Well, if they don't give you back your $99, I'm not giving them back their Freedom Pop. I'm keeping it. But right. If they don't want to offer me service anymore, then what's the point of me keeping it? I might as well chuck it in the garbage. But either way, if you do the math on that, 500 megabytes a month, what would be the cheapest service that you could get to just do some basics? So let's say that $100 divided by 12 months, that means that that's $8 a month for the next year.
Oh, wow, dude. That thing you got, it's a battery-powered hotspot.
Yes, it is. So I said
you could go $50 and get the USB pluggy into the USB e thingy.
But I want to use my Nexus 7.
Wow.
So the idea, the thing is, I keep going out and trying to deal with cable Wi-Fi, which is a combination of various cable concerns that offer free Wi-Fi in various areas. Mm-hmm. But it keeps disconnecting on me, and it drives me crazy. So this, no matter where I go, all I want to do is sit somewhere and read. So I'm, catch up on my reading of the news, so I'm prepared for the next episode of Android Buffet. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not going to be going around there and downloading large amounts, so 500 megabytes may work for me. But you know what surprised me, Jerry? Since the Nexus 7 is a Jelly Bean device, it has the data usage counter they introduced in ICS. So I went in to look and see what the largest apps were in terms of usage. Do you want to know what the single largest usage was for the last 30 days?
Updates?
Nope. Google Currents.
Wow.
1 gigabyte. You know what's better? I have never run Google Currents on the Nexus 7.
Hold on now. This is not free.
Yes, it is.
What is this Freedom Pop Speed Plus?
That's if you want more speed.
Well, how do I say I don't want that?
You turn it off. At the bottom. No, I don't want that. There's an option to turn it down.
I don't see it.
I definitely turned it down.
Oh, here it is. Okay, get up to 50. Okay. No thanks.
And again, if I want to, the overage is, I think, 2 cents a megabyte. So if you
I wonder if they tell you.
No, they do at some point. So if you figure that, also you want to turn off the thing that automatically triggers a $10 refill if you go past your 500 megabytes. So there's an option for that, but you can't do it during the booking process. You have to go back in and log in later. So if you do need another 500 megabytes, that would be $10. Under if you could also purchase a plan.
And the plans are?
I think it's $10 a month for
gigabyte. I'm saying is 2 gig for $18 a month.
There's a 1 gig for $10, I think.
No, I don't. That's not
maybe they changed it since I looked the other day.
And there's 4 gig for $29 a month. Still better than AT&T.
Well, for me, what it is it's that backup thing. I don't need to have a contract. I just put down for the device. And this is the New York area. I think there's enough WiMAX around here. Whatever else you can say about WiMAX. Most of the places I'm going to sit down and read for a few minutes will probably be within range. And if it's horrible, I can get my $99 back within the next 12 months. So I figured that I would bring it to people's attention if they're interested in trying it out. And as soon as this device actually shows up and or ships, since I haven't gotten a shipping notification, even though I ordered this thing Friday, I will report on how that works out. Sound like a plan?
I'm impressed, dude. Good find. Where'd you find out about this? This is cool.
I think Lifehacker.
Ah.
It was also reported on a money management site that I do. But there was a review of it, so it sounded interesting. I was sitting there shelling out $300 to have my car serviced, and I needed to do some reading. That was actually why I was annoyed. My tablet wouldn't work because I'm not going to pay for tethering. I did for a brief period, but then they raised the price. Mm-mm.
I think it'd be nice to be able to have my Nook Color with me and be able to get some internet, you know, regardless of where I am.
Yeah, as I said, I'm not going to be watching a movie. I'm going to be sitting there reading my email and reading, you know, websites and such. Basic stuff.
I like it.
And as long as I turn off automatic updates and get rid of Google Currents, which I don't use anyway. 1 gigabyte. I still don't believe that. 1 gigabyte of data downloaded, and I didn't even use the darn thing. But I came up with a solution. I disabled Google Currents. I'm not using it. Admittedly, it's a system app, at least on the Nexus 7, but if I'm not using it, why am I going and downloading a gigabyte with it? Elsewhere, let's see, where were we? Oh, yes. Eric Schmidt referred to Apple versus Android as the defining battle of the industry. Is it? Well, you know, now
gets a yay.
Okay. Well, let's...
Just for the record, Freedom Pop, yay.
Well, let's wait until one of us actually has one of these things.
Okay.
It got a yay, but it's a tentative yay.
It's a preliminary yay.
Yes, sounds good.
Okay. Eric Schmidt, eh. Yes.
Well, you know, this battle is coming to your home.
Not really.
But it's the defining battle of the industry.
You know what's really annoying about my wife having an iPhone?
What is that?
Well, the keyboard on the iPhone is a little different.
And not changeable.
Well, it's kind of changeable. It's changeable in that you can set it to different languages, right?
Yes.
And part of that is there is a keyboard called Emoji, because getting to the punctuation is kind of a pain in the butt. So they've got this keyboard called Emoji, which is all the emoticons and stuff. Well, I guess it doesn't work very well unless you're on an iPhone. So if you're on another device, you get that little empty rectangle that means, yeah, it's a character, but I got no clue what it is.
Oh, that doesn't work well for cross-compatibility, does it?
There is a plugin for Handsent that will interpret those codes and show the emoticon, the appropriate emoticon, but it doesn't know all of them. And it only works if you're on the same carrier as the person who sent it.
I'm going to concur with Elevator, although he was talking about something different. This is a sad, sad time when you can't get messages because of something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. Why not Unicode? Unicode is universal.
Well, Unicode is not really that widely supported in phone networks, especially for SMS. When my wife was on Metro PCS, if I was to send her a message, or if she was to send me a message that had any Unicode characters in it, because, you know, we type in Spanish, and Spanish has Indian characters and accent characters, the message would come through completely blank on the other side.
But it's still the point of the matter. Why can't you use a standard that people who are not on your phone might actually be able to receive? I understand that some of the people at Apple are not as concerned about people who don't have Apple products, but I'm reasonably certain that their customers care whether they can communicate with people who are not on their services. And you think that the company would respond to that by instituting a system that would work with other people's systems.
One would think. Again, anyway, it's annoying as hell.
It's sad. I am sad for you.
You know, anytime you get a new system, there's always some growing pains.
Yes.
Okay, carrying on.
Isis Mobile Wallet is launching its first test in Salt Lake City. It uses NFC-enabled SIM cards. Would you want an NFC-enabled SIM card, Jerry?
If I had a phone that did not have NFC and did take SIM cards.
Your phone takes a SIM card.
No, it doesn't.
It's 4G, isn't
it? I'm on Sprint.
Yeah, no, I'm saying LTE uses a SIM card, doesn't it? LTE on Verizon uses a SIM card.
You can't get to it. It's hardwired in if it's there.
Might be. But Verizon is issuing SIM cards, so this might work for Verizon, which is involved in the Isis Mobile Wallet program. So my phone does not have, and many people's phones do not have NFC. So would you want to be able to get NFC through a SIM card?
And, absolutely.
Well, here's the second part.
Any way possible.
Is this more secure for, you know, the thing that people want NFC for? Not consumers, I'm talking about companies. They want to get into the mobile payment business. If your NFC chip is on your SIM card, is that better or worse in terms of security?
I don't think it matters.
Well, for me, I think it does. Now, if the NFC card makes the phone uniquely identifiable, if somebody steals the phone, you can have the carrier deauthorize the NFC card. The same way if somebody steals a credit card, you could have them deauthorize that credit card. But if it's an NFC in the phone, that may be a different problem. I think it allows for more secure locking.
NFC is just an antenna. Yeah. Everything about what makes NFC cool is all software.
Yeah, but I'm thinking...
just putting an antenna in the SIM card. Well, it's not like there's any special ID or anything in it.
Well, what I'm thinking is that if I understand some of the security ideas, one of them may be locking it into the card. So essentially... Any SIM card has a unique ID on it.
Yeah.
So using that same unique ID for the NFC chip.
The NFC chip doesn't have an ID.
Yes, but what
if... it's an antenna.
Yeah, but if the software to control it, not all of it, but if some of the software is actually built into the SIM card.
Okay, but now we're talking about something completely different than the story.
I'm just thinking. Well, doesn't Samsung put their NFC chip inside the battery?
I have no idea.
I think at least on
Samsung, that would seem perfectly logical, considering that just, you know, off the top of my head seems completely asinine.
So I think the idea is if you go and buy a third-party battery, you suddenly can't get NFC anymore. Anyway, I think there's potential, if the concern is security, to having some functions built into the SIM card along with the NFC, thus making it possibly more secure, but I don't know how they would do that, because I don't worry about those things. Although, as I was saying earlier, I did actually make my first NFC tag using the only existing Android Buffet keychain and a Tactile.
And a who?
A Tactile. One of those Samsung.
A what?
One of those Samsung NFC tags. They call them Tactiles.
Oh.
I got them at a good deal. Anyway, maybe I'll play with some more, but the Nexus 7 is the only thing I have that can do NFC. Anyway, you might want to try out Minimo, which is a web-based Android emulator that offers 42 various emulator versions for different screen sizes, display resolutions, and Android versions. Admittedly, if you want anything to do other than play with it, you do need an account to upload your apps for testing purposes. So it's a paid service. Seems nice, though. And just go over Elevator, My NFC tag shared a contact with the Android Buffet info, which is why it's on, and the only existing Android Buffet keychain. What else can I do with those NFC tags? My problem is if it was my phone, I take my phone a lot of places. I do take the Nexus 7 places, but I can't think of something I'd want to do with the Nexus 7 and a Tactile.
You could do something like turn off your Wi-Fi when you leave the house.
Why?
I don't know.
I'll think about it. So, there's a rumor that Google is staffing a new call center for Nexus devices.
No.
Yes, you might actually be able to talk to a helpful person because they want people who are enthusiastic Android users.
This is just rumor.
Rumors are fun.
It's not going to happen. Don't get your hopes up.
Welcome to Nexus support. I am Sanjit. How may I direct your call? Anyway, maybe I should apply for that job. I could be a Nexus call center representative. I could tell people all about how wonderful the Nexus is if they sent me a Nexus phone, which I don't have. Anyway, A&E released History Here, apparently along the same ideas as what Field Trip was supposed to be, although most people are saying it's inadequate. So do you want to wander around and have your phone tell you about the local historic landmarks?
Yes.
Well, I think Google has a better chance of doing this better than A&E.
But
is there any actual history or culture still left on A&E or the History Channel?
I don't know.
Yes,
A&E used to have some good shows.
Yes, because, you know, if you talk about just let's go to the History Channel, such shows as whether or not there were aliens involved in all sorts of things. And of course, you know, what is that other one? Ice Road Truckers? Because, you know, I'm just saying, every channel that has a subject no longer uses it. Look at
Sci-Fi, or SIFI is a great example.
Yeah, I'm more thinking, what about TLC?
WWE on Friday nights? Really? Really? Oh, I hate that.
What about TLC? Do you know what TLC stands for?
Tender Loving Care.
The Learning Channel. When was the last time there was something really educational on TLC?
It's all about how to build houses and decorate and stuff.
No, that's HGTV.
Then what's on TLC?
What is it? That show about midgets? Little people, big words.
Toddlers and Tiaras?
I think that's on there too. I thought it was Little People, Big World or something like that. Which network has the show about pawn shops?
Sounds like Discovery Channel.
And hoarders, and I don't understand it. I do not understand nonfiction television. I'd like to. I'm not against it because I like nonfiction, but I don't know what are all these shows about. Anyway, that's my rant for about television. There's not a decent science fiction show on that I can think of. Can you think of a decent science fiction show on television right now?
Alphas, Warehouse 13.
Isn't it on hiatus?
Yes. Well, Warehouse 13 is. Alphas isn't.
I don't know. I like David Strathairn, but I'm not sure if I'm as enthusiastic about that show as I was earlier on.
Nah, it's going a little bit downhill, but that's okay.
I still like David Strathairn.
Let's see.
He was in one of my favorite movies.
What's that?
Sneakers. Didn't you see Sneakers?
I love Sneakers, but...
He played the blind guy.
The what?
The blind guy.
Oh, he did!
Yeah.
I knew he was... Yeah.
He was also in the Edward R. Murrow movie that Clooney did. He played Murrow.
Oh, there's another really good sci-fi show on. It's on hiatus right now, but it's called Continuum. It's a Canadian show that plays on a channel called Showcase.
Oh, I don't get that channel. Must be premium.
Awesome. There's also Doctor Who. Falling Skies is okay.
Okay. Doctor Who has its moments.
Fringe.
I don't know. They went to the future in Fringe.
Yeah, it's gotten really weird.
Yeah, I sort of liked it in the present, and let's erase the universe and start all over, and make and change time. And once you start messing with your timeline and saying, "Oh, we did all these things, but then we erased them," I hate when shows do that.
Have you watched Revolution?
I saw the pilot. I wasn't enthused. I like the idea though.
It's an NBC show, and it's I like it.
I like the idea. I didn't get riveted during the pilot.
Has not gotten much better, but...
Elevator wants to know whether or not he's in the right channel. Huh. Okay, I'll go back and talk about Andrew.
Yeah, back to... PerfMon. Yeah. Performance monitor that...
It's a floating one, no less. I still haven't gotten used to the idea of floating apps, because I sort of like, with a desktop mentality, I like my things to float, and I like windows I can move around. But I don't know if I like that on Android.
Well, you need to see... If you want to see live stats, you have to do this. Otherwise...
They're not live. You have to switch back and forth.
Right.
Oh, and Elevator felt like he was alone. I'm sorry. Elevator, we appreciate you, and we validate you. Right, Jerry?
Yes.
Dropbox was updated. It now offers a photo/video gallery. So instead of having to download your pictures to see them, you can now view thumbnails. That's nice. Do you use the automatic camera upload Dropbox feature, Jerry?
No, and it annoys me.
Why?
Oh, well, not on the phone.
No, I use it on the phone, but I don't use it on the computer. So now
It pops up on the computer and just annoys me.
No, I just use it on the phone to back up my photos on the phone in case I get into a problem. So right here I have this beautiful picture. It's a picture of the new supermarket that opened up a few miles from my house. And it's a picture of their new fully stocked kosher counter.
So lose that.
Well, I had a good reason for taking it. Next time I want to know if I'm interested in buying something there, I have a picture of all the items they sell so I can go and plan out my meals. For example, they have potato kugel for $5.99 a pound. Ooh, $6.99 for potato latkes. Wild rice salad, $7.99 a pound. Turkey meatball, $7.99 a pound. $1.99 per potato onion burekas?
Squirrel.
Okay. I didn't even get to the kosher meat. Anyway.
No, go ahead. I saw a squirrel.
Oh, okay. Another time. Now I'm hungry. Anyway, let's see. Oh, yes. Firefox Mobile was updated with a distraction-free reading mode. I'm actually liking Firefox Mobile a lot more.
Really?
Well, admittedly, better than Chrome? I don't like Chrome that much. I went back to Dolphin. I love Chrome. I don't know. Something about Chrome kept annoying me, so I went back to Dolphin.
Oh, I'm me being on my original Evo here lately. I have not been able to use Chrome, and I miss it.
You should try Dolphin. Did you know it was updated with the new Jetpack engine, which is the fastest HTML5 rendering engine for Android? It's an optional add-on, though.
I just missed my LastPass.
Oh, an Elevator.
I know.
It may drain battery, the Dropbox auto-upload feature, but you can tell it to only do it on Wi-Fi. So when you come into your house, you can upload your pictures. Either way, I like to know that they're not just in my pocket. Sorry, Jerry. I wanted to answer that question.
No, great. Sweet. Useful tip.
Yes. Anyway, Google released a Zagat's app. Do you use Zagat, Jerry?
No.
Okay, neither do I. I never paid for that service. Now it's free, and I'm still not going to pay for it. Google Plus now supports pages, so you can post from your page using the Google Plus app. So whenever Kevin McLaughlin is out trucking, he can post on our Google Plus page, because neither you nor I are actually doing anything with it, are we? He's going to do it. I've given him a personal challenge, I guess.
What?
I thought you were typing to go and post something on the Android Buffet Google Plus page.
No.
But the Google Play Store was updated and now allows you to remove entries from the All Apps list.
Yay! Yay! Yay, 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 yay!
Well, you know what I want them to bring back. There's one list that's missing. They have the installed list and the All list. What happened to just the list of purchased apps? That's what I want next. Also, as I mentioned earlier, Dolphin Browser has been updated. Not only does it have that Jetpack engine, which is an optional install, it has a network diagnostic mode.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
It has a network diagnostic mode. What group photo feature? Sorry, elevator. Also, by the way, there was an update to the Myth TV for Android app. I really have to test that out for... Oh, it's actually working. Do you want me to show you how the app works?
No.
Please try again later. So I'm going to play an episode of a random television show. Let's see how long it takes to come up an episode on this Nexus 7 tablet from the Myth TV server in the other room. Because the last time I tried this, it took entirely too long and then crashed. Sorry, Dan. Don't you want to support Dan?
Yep.
So let's see. I've already asked it to load an episode of a show that was recorded in 1080p, I believe. Or 1080i. Let me think. What does the Travel Channel do? Does it do 720 or 1080? I never watched the Travel Channel. Actually, I do now that there's a show on it that I find interesting, but I usually don't. There's a great show, Airport 24/7, about Miami. It's factually inaccurate, but it's a lot of fun. Still waiting for the show to actually stream. Come on. And it's spinning up a quad core in the other room to do the transcoding. Still trying to retrieve video. Isn't this exciting? While we're waiting, anything on your mind, Jerry?
No.
Okay, well, about photos. There's this whole group photo thing. Takes 8 shots. Have you tried this thing?
Mine will take shots as long as you hold the button down.
Oh, so will mine. That's what
up
I like.
Up to like 40 or 50 pictures or something.
That's why I like the HTC over the Motorola in regards to the camera. The Droid 3 had a horrible camera. It took an entirely too long in order to actually get it to work. I can't see why anybody would want to watch a video using this application if it's taking this long to actually get the video. I'm going to have to file a bug report with the developer.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it gets better. The thing just blanked out. It went into power saving mode. It's been waiting so long for this video to come up.
I'm sorry.
Shouldn't we be apologizing to Dan? Let me try some. Let me see if I can change the settings to a lower bitrate. Ooh, look at that. It's allowing me to remotely control my front end. Home playback profiles. Oh, it's set on 480p. Let me try setting it to a larger number. I can set it to 720p. Maybe it'll take less to transcode if it's at a higher rate.
No.
No what?
Lower bit rates require less time to...
Well, I thought it might actually originally be it. Okay, I was at 4... I'll set it down to the lowest, 270p. You know, somewhere in the other room, there's a computer that's trying to transcode something for a system that will never actually ask for it because I've just crashed the program. Yeah. Anyway. I hate so to disappoint him. Let's try this again. Retrieving video. I should use Plex for streaming? Why would I do that? This is the Myth TV Android front end, written by my friend, Dan Fry. I'm sorry, Dan. I tried it with a regular computer, now I'm trying it with a quad-core computer. And if a quad-core phenom can't encode fast enough for me to watch a video with... Oh, and actually it's coming up. It's coming up at 270p.
Come through here every day.
If you don't like people, this is not the job for you.
This is too big.
I'd like...
Okay, that worked. But only, so far, not at 480p. Go figure. Plex may be amazing, but I have a whole Myth TV system. So there's a very good reason for me to be using the Myth TV for Android app. Right, Jerry?
If you say so.
At least until the FCC screws me in a few months. That's another story. I'm sure they'll send me a letter first. They sent me that lovely letter when they started charging me for the modem. Although I decided to hold off on that until they actually sent me a bill. They were nice about it the last time I called them. I told them my bill was too high. They said, oh, we'll take it down for you. How would you like to only pay this month?
Well, I'd like to pay even less than that. Can you do that? Let's negotiate here. You make an offer, I'll make a counteroffer. Let's talk about this.
Well, I don't understand why I have to call the cable company once a year to convince them to charge me the same thing that they charge new customers. Because I've only been with the company for a few years now, why should I expect them to give me a better deal than the people who just signed up yesterday?
Because it's all about new customer acquisition, not customer retention.
Fine, I'll leave.
And you'll get a good deal when you come back.
I'm still waiting for Fios. Then I could use a cable card. Don't get me started on that. It'll just depress me again. Oh, by the way, Jerry, there is one other thing I want to wrap up with before we finish up for the evening. My mother wanted me to tell you how much she admires and respects you.
What'd that do now?
No, she just continually admires and respects you for your willpower.
Oh.
she keeps saying, you know, I spent the holidays with her. As you know, there were a lot of holidays in the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying, you know, you should learn something from that Jerry guy.
I'm sorry, man.
Why?
Well,
at least you weren't. At least
it wasn't my intention to make your life harder.
At least you weren't the person who told me to tell my mother that that she should arrange an arranged marriage for me. You're just the guy who's doing well personally, not the person who's suggesting that I should bring home an arranged. Excuse me, that my mother should arrange an arranged marriage for me. You know, they say it's the thought that counts anyway.
Hey, Elevator's bringing up a good point. I did this accidentally. Maybe you know how to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember at one time you had to use an app that had to, and your phone had to be rooted to take a screenshot of your phone.
Yeah.
I picked up my phone a few weeks ago and turned it on or did something and it went, you know, like it was taking a picture.
Yeah.
But it took a screenshot.
Yeah, it does that now on ICS and above.
How do you do that?
It used to
on
be
purpose.
It used to be holding down the recent apps button, but it depends on the device in some cases.
Power button and the home button.
Just power and home?
That's what Elevator says. Because I'm using my, if you hold down the recent tips or the recent apps button, that opens up the recent apps.
Okay, it's been a while since I've tried to do it. Developer options.
If you just tap the recent apps, then it brings up the menu.
Okay, well, we'll have to look it up.
Hold down, well, Elevator says hold down the power button and tap the home button. I am so going to check that out.
But if you hold down the power button, it turns the device off.
Right, but you just, it's not like you hold it down for 18 seconds. I mean, I'm sure there's some timing issues there, but it can't be that hard.
I'm recently starting with a different thing. Let's see, screenshot ICS. Since it started there, let's do a little Google search. How to take screenshots in ice cream sandwich.
Grab a camera, point it at your phone, snap the picture.
Press and hold the power and the volume down button. Yeah, that's it. Power and volume down.
Cool.
So it isn't power and home, it's power and volume down. Anyway, just go a few things.
That's another thing I really hate about Samsung phones. Whose brilliant idea was it to put the power button directly opposite of volume buttons? Why?
I haven't tried
to. Put the power button at the top of the device so that when you hold your phone and you push the power button, you're not applying pressure to other buttons as well. I mean, geez, come on.
I'd like to point out the power button on this Nexus 7 is right next to the volume button.
Okay, that's fine. There's no, I don't see a problem with that.
Okay.
But so far, I've had to touch two Samsung telephones, and they were both volume buttons on one side, and on the other side, directly opposite, was the power button. Just.
Shall we go through the wrap-up procedure?
While you're still angry. I have personal issues with Samsung right now.
We know.
Although my refrigerator is still awesome.
I have a Blu-ray player from them. I'm not so thrilled with it, but it does what it... Yeah, of course I do. They probably made the LCD on your phone.
Yep.
Anyway, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there. That's techpodcast.com. And we want to congratulate fellow tech podcast show, The Audacity to Podcast, which teaches you about audacity and podcasting. Audacity is used to edit this program, the minimal editing that we do. They've just reached their 100th show.
You're just audacious.
Yes. On their 100th show, they offer 100 amazing podcasting tips from successful podcasters.
Give them.
Well, they've done 100 shows. The same guy.
So have we.
Yeah, but the same guy also does other shows. We only have one show right now.
Oh, so he could get to 100 shows in like a week. We took 2 years to do it. Dedication, consistency.
But we had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, we continue to have a lot of fun. Because I know as soon as it stops being fun, Jerry, you're going to run out.
I'm going to bail.
Yeah. So I have to make sure that you're entertained every week by being entertaining. We are, of course, also a show that records live on Monday nights. You can join us like Elevator and Harley, who was here earlier, and Andro User 2, and anybody else.
Got tired of trying to figure out how to stream the audio, so he just bailed.
I'll fix the link. I just put it up. Nobody said anything about the fact that I fixed all those dated Kindle links. By the way, if you're interested in buying a Kindle, feel free to click through on our site and make us some money. We get credit. What?
I do want a Kindle.
Paperwhite?
Yeah.
Those are nice, aren't they? I'm waiting to hold one in my hands before I even consider buying it. But so far, they're not stocking them in shelves and on stores. I'm not going to buy one and return it if I don't like it. I hate doing that. It seems so tacky. Anyway, so you can, of course, check us out. We're back to our normal Monday night schedule. I want to thank you, Bob, for joining us. Bob?
Yes.
Anyway, so you can check us out Mondays at 10, stream in live. Please bring your own streamer because apparently I haven't fixed the button. beyond that, there's also now a web chat embedded in the page. Much to Jerry's annoyance, I will put back the link should you wish to not embed it in the page. I'll be fair. We have something for everybody, both embedded and not embedded.
Yay.
Beyond that, of course, you can email us podcast@AndroidBuffet. You can send us a voicemail at 201-2-Wenica, or you can send it to us in an email. If it's a small file, you can attach it. Otherwise, please send us a link. Be considerate of our email boxes. Beyond that, the contest here in Guru's Junkyard continues. If you send us a sufficiently good voicemail, you will win a free prize from Guru's Junkyard. We are still holding out for that video modulator.
Did anybody express interest in my case?
Did anybody? We told them to email you. I don't know. Did I get any emails about a case? I think we did get a lovely compliment on Facebook, so somebody actually liked the Android Buffet page. So that inspired me. I did something with the Android Buffet Facebook page. I got us a new URL. We are now facebook.com/AndroidBuffet.
Wow.
Well, that extra like pushed
me over. It wasn't already taken?
No. But that extra like pushed us over the edge. You need a certain number of likes and followers before they'll actually do that. So it pushed us over the edge, so we now own Android Buffet. On Facebook, if I can only get plus Android Buffet on Google, I think you have to be more important to get that. Kevin, you're in charge over there. Get working on it. I'm putting you in charge of the get us a plus Android Buffet URL.
So on the offhand chance that you do not fix the Flash streamer thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations for listening to the stream in Linux?
Well, I just use mPlayer on the command line. I'm old school. That's mPlayer.
If you're on Windows, there's VLC, and there is also my personal favorite for watching videos and audio and stuff. It's Zoom Player.
I'd like to point out that VLC is also available for Linux and Mac. So Why not VLC all around?
Because Zoom Player is better. Maybe not for listening to audio, but I so love being able to flick my scroll wheel and fly through a video.
Okay, I will accept that. I don't have a scroll wheel. I use a trackball. I'm not sure.
Trackball's going to have scroll wheels.
How can a trackball have a scroll wheel? Okay.
It's got three buttons.
Okay. My trackball does not have a scroll wheel. But I've been using trackballs for many years, and I'm a big fan of trackballs. I don't know why more people do not use trackballs. I'm not a big mouse fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so
here's my favorite trackball.
Yeah. I'll have a look at it. I don't like to open up links on the computer with the stream. It tends to make a hiccup. But I'll check it when I finish up with the show.
It's the Logitech that's got, and it's you know.
Mine's a Logitech.
Well, anyway.
It's the $20 marble one.
Yeah. No, not the big marble, the little marbler.
No, I have the little marble one. For all I know, your link is to the one that I actually have.
It's possible.
Yeah. Anyway. So any final thoughts, Jerry, before we conclude for the night?
Nope.
I'd like to say that I've enjoyed having this one-on-one time with you once again.
Oh.
And I look forward to next week when I may or may not have a Freedom Pop, when I may or may not have a bunch of things that are waiting in the mail. I told you I ordered a laptop.
I did not know you ordered a laptop.
Laptop.
A what? A lapdog?
No, a discontinued Motorola laptop, which I have no intention of hooking up to a Motorola device. We'll talk about that next week, remind me. We'll consider that a cliffhanger, right?
All right.
Okay. Next week, did Guru's Motorola discontinued web laptop show up? Tune in. Same time, same station. Cue dramatic music. Dum, dum, dum. Goodbye, Jerry.
Goodbye.